Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. That all things are possible.
Let's just go to the Lord in prayer before we start the service. Heavenly Father, we truly are thankful, Father, to be your children this morning, Father. We don't take that lightheartedly, Father. We know that we are yours. So, Father, we've gathered ourselves together this morning to be able to hear your word, Father, not ours, but yours. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that the things that would be spoken this morning, Father, would create life, Father, and an atmosphere, Father, that would be pleasing unto you, Father. We, Lord, prepare ourselves, Lord, for your coming, and Lord, we just hope that this will get us one step further, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that you, the things of the week and the stresses of this life, Father, be set aside, Father, that you may have preeminence in our lives, Father. Open our mouths now, Father, to the things that you would have to say, and close our mouths, Father, to the things that you would not. We ask this, and we yield ourselves to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just a quick scripture reading before you're seated. And the subject I've chosen this morning is Chosen Bride. And in St. John 15, 22 through 17, which happens to be my favorite scripture, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth. And that's also in our communion scripture, if you remember. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. And number 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and then ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. You can be seated. Amen. I have true faith in that last comment in this verse, that whatsoever you ask in the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Amen. A lot of times that doesn't look like a miracle if you're in the process of healing. But every little step that God grants you in healing, claim it and move forward. Amen. And the title of the sermon this morning, and I got 28 pages to go, so I'll get going, is A Chosen Bride. And I really appreciate Brother Brian's message last Sunday. I got two services out of that one sermon. So now I just got to bury down and dig them out. And you'll just hear what Brother Branham talks about, how we are chosen. Amen. And it kind of goes with the communion service that I preached, eternal redemption. We always were chosen, and you'll see this in the things that the Bible and Brother Branham talks about. And these things that I command you, that you love one another. Amen. That was supposed to be in red, and I didn't separate it. I apologize. That was the last verse of St. John 15, 17. And from Israel and the church, Brother Branham says, and the bride of Jesus Christ will be Mrs. Jesus Christ, hallelujah, baptized in his spirit and in his name and filled with his power, robed in his righteousness, hallelujah. There she is. And now notice, that was the Gentile bride. Amen. He's talking about us. Now to read the rest just before closing, here's the saddest story you've ever seen at the end time, where we're ending now. The Gentile bride has already been chosen, been taken out. That thing is about finished. Amen. And earnestly contending from the faith that was once delivered to the saints, Brother Branham says, then you better get excited, brother. Excitement. Don't heal the sick. The power of God is what heals the sick. The times. It's the evening lights that are falling. Remember, it was Isaac that wanted a wife. when the father, Abraham, you think he's talking about Isaac, sent to his servant out a very beautiful type of God the Father sending out for his bride, amen, to get his bride, his servant, the Holy Spirit, amen. That's where we're living right now, the Holy Spirit reaching out and bringing those out of the nominal churches into his bride, amen. Eliezer, the Holy Spirit. And it was in the cool of the evening when the beautiful Rebecca came out to water the camel. You know the story. And the beautiful Rebecca came out, and he said, now whoever waters this camel, he said, Lord, let that be the one you've chosen. And Rebecca went and watered the camel and gave them drink and then watered the animal. Look, the very animal that she watered, the animal represents a beast, of course, a beast of burden, which means power in the Bible. And the very animal that she was watering was the very animal that packed her to see that bride. So what are we supposed to be watering this morning? The Word, the Holy Ghost. Because that's what gets us home. Brother Brian said it. Brother Branham said it. Brother Vell said it. The rapture is a revelation, brother and sister. It's a revelation. Get to that faith. Faith is revelation, right? Get to that faith. Get to that revelation. Otherwise, Brother Branham said, it would pass right through you and you wouldn't even know it. And the very animal that she was watering was the very animal that packed her to see her bride. Is that right? And what is watering? The very power that we're watering now with praises and thanksgivings and glory and power and might is the very Holy Spirit that'll pack us to see Jesus someday. Amen. And from here ye him, Brother Branham said, but we find in this scripture that Jesus had to choose three of his apostles. I just love to think on the numeramics of the Bible, how that 3s, 7s, 12s, and 40s, and 50s, if you get these numbers running right, you can just place the Bible like one great picture. And 3 is a perfection like Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the water, the blood, and the Spirit, and so forth. And the three comings of Jesus, once he came to redeem his bride, number one, and next time he comes to get his bride, that's where we are, and the next time he comes with his bride, amen, after the marriage supper. Then we find that he had taken three chosen vessels, Peter, James, and John, and in the Bible were taught love, hope, and charity, or faith, hope, and charity. It is faith, hope, and charity. I want you to notice how beautiful that these three men typed that. The Holy Spirit that was in those men, Peter, faith, right out, ready to tackle anything, James, hope, John, clarity, charity, faith, hope, and charity. And it is written in the Word that the three is a witness or a confirmation. The Bible said, in the mouth of three witnesses, let every word be established. Three was a witness in the Old Testament. If there was an accusation against someone, it had to be witnessed by three. And it is also carried over into the New Testament. And the three is a witness. And we find that God was fixing to do something. And God, when he does anything, he always brings witnesses. Amen. We find it at Pentecost. He said, wait at the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. And then you shall be witnesses of me. Preparing his witnesses. Amen. That's us. God sent witnesses. And from why we are not a denomination, Brother Branham says, scarlet in the Bible represents royal. The color scarlet means red. The beast, and the beast represents power. Did you notice that the beast came up out of the sea? That was in Revelation 13. And then you see the beast coming up out of the sea. It is meant that this power was raising up among the people. But in Revelation 13, when the Lamb was come, he came up out of the earth, not the people, no people, the United States. But then after he had two little horns, civil and ecclesiastical power. And then he received power and spoke like a dragon did before him. So you just got to mark it down. We are coming into a religious persecution. with the same things that they did in pagan Rome many years ago. For it is, thus saith the Lord, now watch it, sitting upon a beast, a power. And who is he talking about? He's talking about there's a natural side, the United States, and then there's an ecclesiastical side, which is Rome. So watch those. Did you notice, Rebecca, when Eliezer found her, it was in the evening time, and she watered the camel, because Eliezer said, if the damsel that comes and waters this camel, that will be, and gives me a drink, that will be the one that you have chosen, Lord, to be the bride of your servant Isaac. And while he was yet in prayer, Rebekah came and drawed water and gave him a drink and watered the camel. Notice the camel was a beast, and that the same and that same beast that she was watering was the one who packed her to her bride, Isaac. And today, the power of the Holy Ghost that the church is watering and worshiping, amen? Yes. It is the thing that will pack it from this earth to meet the bride. Amen. Sure, Isaac was out in the field in the evening. We don't meet the Lord up in glory. Ephesians, the fifth chapter, says that we shall meet him in the air. Oh, that makes the Methodists get ready to shout. Think of it, see? The Lord, Isaac had come out from his father's house and was out in the field when he saw Rebekah coming on the camel. She loved him at first sight and jumped off the camel and ran to meet him. That's right. That's where we meet the Lord. Amen. And the very camel that she watered and packed her to her husband, the very power that the church is worshiping, that the world is calling fanaticism, that the church is worshiping, will be the same power that will take the church up in the air. Meet the Lord in the air. The Holy Spirit, see, and there is, and look, Rebekah was a virgin. And from Marriage of the Lamb in 62. So I think that's the way with preaching the gospel. If it doesn't stir you up a little bit and get you feel spiritual gastronomic started right, make you a little sick to examine yourself with the bride. See, if that old temper and selfishness and ungodliness, love of the world, television and things at night, and leaving the church set empty and the pews set empty, when you ought to be out there like Jesus, you got his spirit in you, trying to get everybody in the country to come to your church to receive Christ. And we call ourselves then the bride of Christ. Oh, what a pity, friend. The hour has come. His bride has made herself ready. Oh. And this is what the Lord has put on my heart as one of the first sermons that Brother Brian asked me to start doing for communion. His bride has made herself ready. So as we go through this sermon this morning, you're going to see that God has already chosen you. But what is a gift, brother and sister? That's right. The gift is to accept it. It's the same way with salvation. It's the same way with receiving the Holy Ghost. And it's the same way with dressing yourself and being ready. The word is presented to you. Multiple sermons. If you don't put it on, it does you no good, and you're naked. You're not clothed. Made herself ready. She lay aside all the things. Remember, Esther was chosen, and the others was rejected. And only those that's born again, that's got the Spirit of God, will be the chosen that day. That the crown of glory will be set upon her head, and all the others will be rejected. The end time sign seed in 62, Brother Bram says, now the Jews was cut off, Paul tells us, and the Gentiles was grafted in again into the kingdom. But notice, Jesus said, learn a parable of the fig tree. Now that tree, like Job saw, if it dies, will it live again? Sure, he said. Now, when you see the fig tree and all the other trees of what? There is a tree of life. There's a tree of creed, denomination. There's a creed of nation. when you see the fig tree and all the other trees putting forth their buds, browse, fixing the leaf out, you say summer is nigh, right? Notice, making a parable out of the nations. Now God deals with the Gentiles for a bride. One here and one there. But he deals with the Jews as a nation, not as an individual, as a nation. He has always, that's been God's chosen nation. God chose them as a nation. Missionaries go into Jerusalem and things, and when Israel is saved, she'll be a nation. They all come in at one, what's the Bible say, or at 1 hour, is it, or something? Or 1 day. They'll be saved as 1 day. The Bible says we'll be born in a day. Okay, it's right there. Never mind. That's right. So Israel will be accepted, Christ, at one, just as a nation, not as individuals. Okay, and the conflict between God and Satan in 62, Brother Branham says, the bride must be unified, unified together by the word. My sheep hear my voice. And this is his voice on printed word. Amen, right here. All right, unified by the word. She makes herself ready, not with the regular creed. Like Esther, when Esther was to be chosen to stand before the king, she didn't adorn themselves with all the things, but she adorned herself with a sweet, meek spirit. That's what the bride is adorning herself with, all with all of the fruits of the Spirit following. Amen. Peace, meekness, gentleness. We don't flare up. Amen. What she got? Assembling together in fellowship of the word. Amen. Fellowship of the word. That's right. Fellowshipping, setting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus tonight. One accord, one place, and one spirit, and one mind, and one hope, and one God, and one purpose. Amen. See, there you are. Every time the Bible says anything, we say amen. Punctuate every word with an amen. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. When you're talking to a random person, another believer that has an ism, and they cannot say amen to every single word that the prophet said, and that every single word here in this book, brother and sister, just know that they're off. Amen. We say amen to every single word because every single word has a place and a meaning for us in our life. Amen. It isn't just, God didn't waste his breath to just come speak words just because he wanted a big book or lots of sermons. Every single word means something. Amen. Find its place. How can I overcome? Brother Branham says, but I can't agree with him because I don't see it. But it doesn't pertain to salvation. It's pertaining to the coming of the Lord. He sees that the church has to go through the tribulation period for purification. I say the blood of Jesus Christ purified the church. See, it needs no. I believe that the church goes through the tribulation period, sure. The church organization. But the bride does not. Would you choose a woman you had to purify before you marry her? See, Christ's bride is chosen, and she is elected. And she is God's bride and the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, he said, how are you going to type that if that the bride goes up before she goes through the tribulation period? Said, I got scripture that shows you that the church is in the tribulation period. I said, just read the sixth seal. That's all. She is right there under the tribulation period. But find out just before that, the bride is done gone. See, she is in glory at that time. She has no purification. See, he that believeth on me has everlasting life and shall not come into the condemnation or judgment, but has passed from death unto life. Christ gave the purpose that he would not even stand. Christ gave the promise that we would not even stand at the judgment. Amen. I am so looking forward to that. So freely did he take my place until I'm absolutely free. When I'm pardoned, I'm pardoned. Amen. You have to accept that pardon, though, right? How can he take me out of the pawn shop, got a clear receipt of it? How can he be my redeemer and take me from the pawn shop? The brokers still say I belong to him. I got a written receipt, amen, wrote by the blood of Jesus Christ. See, now in that, here is where we come. He said, now how are you going to get separate that elected bride you talked about now? How are you going to put that under a type? I said, very good. I say, here it is. Now, in Matthew, the 27th chapter and the 51st verse, if we let me read it, and then we got it good. Then we find out whether it was typed or not, whether it's the elected bride. Matthew 27th chapter and 51st verse, all right, we read, amen. It's at the crucifixion of our Lord, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. And now that was the law. The law ended right there, because the veil kept the congregation and the holy oracles of God separate. Amen. Only an anointed priest went in there, and that once a year. Remember, now God, with his own hand, notice, from the top to the bottom, not from the bottom to the top. It's some 40 feet high, notice, not from the bottom to the top, but from the top to the bottom, showed it was done by God. Amen. Rent the veil in two, then though anyone whosoever will may come and partake of his holiness. See, all right, from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and the many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many. There is that elected, that bride. Amen. Now, not all the Jewish church come forth at that time. All of them made the same sacrifice. All of them was under the shed blood of the Lamb. But there was an elected group. That elected group, as soon as the event come, they really believed in it with sincerity, and now I'm coming to the world to overcome. Now hold that. These that had really overcome sincerely, making the same offering that the rest of them made, but in sincerity overcome the things of the world. When the propitiation correctly was made for them, they were in paradise until when that time was made, they had overcome and was resting, sleeping. See, many bodies of them, of those that slept in the dust, see, slept. And from the voice of the sign, Brother Branham says, now, the type here. There is a wonderful type that we sure don't want to miss. See, typed God was bringing Israel, his people, out a nation out of a nation, a nation out of a nation. A beautiful type of today that God is calling his bride out of a church. Amen. Christian bride out of a Christian church. A bride church out of a church, which is called in the Bible and referred to. I've got several notes of scriptures written down here on this lesson tonight. It's called sometimes the chosen, the elected, or the remnant of the woman's seed. It was called the bride. What God, by his foreknowledge, ordained to be. Amen. That is the bride. Comes out of the church. See, the whole thing is a church. But God takes a people out of that church as a bride. He said he would, and he did it. Notice, or he will do it. Amen. I believe he will do it and is doing it. Notice, see how he did it, and in the manner how he did it, he wanted to look at this now as he brought out Israel, how he did it, and the manner that he did. Notice, when the same time of the promised word was to be fulfilled, God called Moses by foreign nation and elected him to the job. See, God has always got the person on the mark. Got the person on the mark at the time. Nothing fails with God. He said it. It can't fail. If it fails, then God fails, because God is the Word, and that we know that's not possible. Notice now, the Word had to be manifested. And when the Word had to be manifested of a promise, God always sends a prophet to manifest that promise, because the Word of the Lord comes to him. Amen. Moses, foreordained for that purpose, was called to the job. No one else could do it. When God has called a person, that's everybody, for a job to do, there is no one can take its place. There is no one can take your place, your peculiarity. Each one of you has a job to do, amen? And Brother Branham says, the choosing of a bride in 65, the true church of Christ, the bride, is so sold out to him and his promised word, till at the very mind that is in Christ is in you. What a difference. And we find today that the modern church and the modern church, world church, the modern world church, and also that the spiritual church are both pregnated to give birth to sons. One of them, a denominational birth, is going to be given one of these days at the World Council of Churches, which will produce to the world the Antichrist. Amen. Where does the Antichrist come from? Within the church. That's exactly the truth. I may not live to see it, but I believe I will. But you young people, remember that you have heard a minister say that that'll finally wind up, and that is the mark of the beast. When she forms that World Council of Churches and she'll give birth to her son, the Antichrist. The other, that's us, is pregnated by the Word of God and will bring forth the body, the finished body of Jesus Christ. Not incomplete, brother and sister. The finished body of Jesus Christ, which is who? The bride. The body of Christ isn't finished yet. How many knows that? A man and a woman is one, and Christ is one body, the Word. The bride will have to be the rest of that body. Amen? And the two together makes the one body again. Like Adam was at the beginning, man, his wife, are one. Now, she, the true bride, so sold out to him that she uses no mind of her own. His mind, of course, is his will, and his will is his word. Now, look at this. Look at the so-called bride chosen by man and compare the spiritual to the natural of today. A modern Jezebel, bewitched by her Ahab, max factor beauties, everything look at the church the same way, but a prostitute to the word of the living God. Big denominations, big buildings, big money, big salary, all sold out. Men standing in the pulpit endorsing that's all right, and let them get by with it. Just deceit, that's all. Truly a blind Laodicea church age, just exactly what the Bible said would be. Said, I am rich, I am set as a queen, I have need of nothing. And knowest thou not that thou art poor, miserable, blind, and wretched, naked, and don't know it? If this isn't thus saith the Lord, Revelation 3, I never read it. That's what she is, and don't know it. Think of it. And from Spiritual Food in Due Seasons, Brother Branham says, remember, he went into his secret place by the plan of God, by the call of God and the word of God. Elijah entered into his secret place by God's foreknowledge, plan, and the call upon his life and according to the word. If that ain't the way we entered, I don't know how we get there. And notice, before the drought began, Elijah went into this place of secret for his living. A very type of before the judgment strikes, starts to strike the earth, the church is already called out. The bride is already chosen and just waiting before the judgment strikes. Already waiting. eating the food of God, enjoying the blessings of God, any man in his normal mind knows we're headed straight, where we're right in the hour of judgment. And from the exposition of the seven church ages, Brother Branham says in the Smyrnian church age, in John 6:37 and 44, it says, all that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I shall in no wise cast out. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And in John 1:12-13, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Amen. The power, the right to choose, right? Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And in Ephesians 1:4-5, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, without getting too involved in the subject of sovereignty of God, for that would take a book in itself, let me point out here that according to these verses, Jesus Christ is choosing his own bride just the same as men choose their brides today. The bride today does not simply decide she is going to take a certain man for a husband. No, sir. It is the groom who decides and chooses a certain woman for his bride. In John 15:16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Amen. Now, according to the word of God, the bride was chosen before the foundation of the world. Same message we preached on communion, but in a different form. This choosing of the bride was purposed in himself. Ephesians 1:9 and Romans 9:11, it says that the purpose of God according to election might stand. You can't read it any other way. The heart purpose, the eternal purpose of God was to take a bride of his own choosing, and that purpose was in himself. And being eternal was decreed before the foundation of the world. We have been chosen that long, brother and sister. Amen. That's incredible. Watch carefully now and see this. Before there was ever a speck of stardust, there was nothing. Before God was God, we were chosen. God is an object of adoration, and no one was there to worship him. So he was at that time only potentially God. And he was known only as what? The eternal spirit. The bride at that time was already in his mind. Amen. That's incredible. Yes, she was. She was existing in his thoughts. And what about those thoughts of God? That's a question. They are eternal, are they not? The eternal thoughts of God. Let me ask you, are the thoughts of God eternal? Amen. If you can see this, you will see many things. Amen. That is a big clue, brother and sister. God is unchangeable in both essence and behavior. We have studied that and proven that already. God is infinite in his abilities, so therefore he as God must be omniscient. If he is omniscient, then he is not now learning, nor is he taking counsel even within himself. God doesn't reason with himself. Well, I probably shouldn't have done that. Probably should have done this over here, and Adam wouldn't have fell, and you know, all this. No. He doesn't reason with himself. The thoughts of God are eternal, and they are simply being manifested. Amen. Then he is not learning, nor is he taking counsel even with himself, nor is he at any time adding to his knowledge. If he can add to his knowledge, then he is not omniscient. The best way we can say is that sometimes he will be, but that is not scriptural. He is omniscient. He has never had a new thought about anything, because all his thoughts he has always had and always will have, and knows the end from the beginning. He is God. Thus, the thoughts of God are eternal. They are real. They are not simply like a man with a blueprint he has drawn up, and which one day he will be translated into a substance, as if you were building a house in a form. But they are already real. They are already eternal and a part of God. See how it works? God always had his thoughts for Adam. Adam, as his thoughts, was yet unexpressed. Psalms 139:15-16, will you give you a little idea of this? My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. So you could take that and say basically it's the potter and the clay. God knew every single element that clay had to make you and I.
Amen.
Amen. That, as I said, was not written about Adam, but it gives you the idea and the knowledge that the thought was there in his mind, and that thought was eternal and had to be expressed. So the thought of God is what Brother Brian said last Sunday. It's a seed. Amen. And that seed, once it's been planted or put out there, has to be expressed. So when Adam was formed of the dust of the earth and his spiritual being created by God, then Adam became God's thought expressed. And those eternal thoughts were now manifested.
Amen.
I say it again. The rapture is a revelation, brother and sister, and read that last sentence again. And those eternal thoughts were now manifested. So when you get that faith, that revelation, what's going to manifest? The rapture. The expedition of the seven church ages, the Sardinian church age. Now let us go one another step, but before we do, let us review our case thus far. First of all, we know most assuredly that the purpose of God stands in election. It was purposed in himself. It was God's purpose to bring forth a people like unto himself that would be a word bride. Amen. She was chosen before the foundation of the world in him. She was foreknown and beloved before she was ever brought forth during the ages upon the earth. She was redeemed by his blood and can never come into condemnation. She can never be in the judgment because sin cannot be imputed unto her. Think about it, brother, sister. Romans 4:8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin.
Amen.
And who is that person that he will not impute sin to?
Me.
The bride, you, me. But indeed she shall be with him in his throne of judgment, judging the world and even the angels. Can you put your mind around that? That we even judge the angels for their actions, their doings? Her name, each of her members, was written in a section of the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Firstly. Secondly, there is another class. Their names are also in the Book of Life, and they will come up in the second resurrection. Sure, such are the fullest virgins from Matthew 25, and the righteous are spoken of in Matthew 25. In this class also are those who do not worship the beast nor become involved with the Antichrist system, but die for their faith, even though they are not in the bride, not having been born again. So what is the one biggest singular key that Brother Branham's talking about here that you know you're the bride? You've been born again. So the nominal church, or even message church, let's say that. Those that are not born again, they're in the house of God. They've been around it their whole life, but they never got to that place. God allows them to give their life, literally, this vessel, to obtain eternal life. There's Brother Bram talks about threes all the time. So three, the bride, us, amen, claim it. We know it. It's faith. It's revelation. Two, we don't want to go through the tribulation. Amen. But those that do, they do gain eternal life, brother, sister. They are the foolish virgin. The foolish virgin is a virgin. They never did mingle with the Antichrist. They never did take the mark of the beast. They gave their life in standing for Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Even though they are not in the bride, not having been born again. But they will come up in the second resurrection and go into eternal life. Thirdly, there are the borderline Christians, such as we saw in Israel, that came out of Egypt, 2,000 strong. These had their names in the book of life and their works written in those books. And these having their names in the book of life and written in the books of life. These having failed to obey and being void of the Spirit through even the signs and wonders were amongst them, though even the signs and wonders were amongst them, will have their names removed from the book of life. Amongst this group will be the ones like Judas, who thought entirely void of the Spirit, though entirely void of the Spirit, but are religious, will have manifestations in their lives. Judas casts out devils, the same as Peter, Paul, James, and John. And though on the book were not the elected in him. Such also as Balaam is in this group, will be in that group. Amen. Fourth and finally, Brother Branham says there's four. And the ones whose names have never been or ever will be written on those books. Such are found in Revelations 13 and 8, Revelation 17 and 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in that book. Amen. There it is. The Lamb's Book of Life, slain from the foundation of the world. The beast thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell upon the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is. Jesus said that a certain group would accept one who come in his own name. That one is the Antichrist. And that is exactly what it says of them in Revelations 13 and 8 and 17 and 8. These were ordained of God, but not unto election. And with this group is such that are as Pharaoh. It says of him, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. Romans 9:17 and 22. None of these would have been placed on the records of life. I am not saying that there is no record of them. No doubt there is some kind of record of them, but not in the recordings of life. Their purpose of existence has been dealt with slightly in the rest of the book, but we can add two more scriptures. Proverbs 16:4, the Lord hath made the wicked for the day of evil. Job 21:30, the wicked is reserved to the day of destruction. They shall be brought forth to the day of wrath. Amen. Who are we to say to God, you can't be making vessels for destruction? God made vessels for destruction, brother and sister. He said it. We may not understand that part, but one part we do understand is our names are on that book. Since this portion of the word is hard for the human mind to grasp, it must be accepted and believed by faith. Some will be offended by what I have set forth because they fail to understand the sovereignty of God, which sets forth that God is God. And because he is God, one cannot defeat his counsels or thwart his will and purpose. But he, being omnipotent, is ruling in all affairs and is doing whatever he will with all his creation because all were created for his good pleasure. Therefore, as Paul says, if God should take one lump of clay and make of that same lump one vessel unto honor and to another vessel unto dishonor, who can be offended and cry against him? That he has the right to do this on the grounds of creation alone, we cannot deny. Yet he went even further, for according to Romans 14:7-9, we have the irrefutable proof that Jesus paid the purchase price of the whole world, and therefore he can do as he wills with his own. Amen. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and received, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Wow, that's pretty good. Ownership, not relationship, is meant here in this verse. This is also set forth in St. John 17:2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as though thou hast given him. Amen. Jesus was sent. He redeemed every single person, seed that God gave him. Amen. God doesn't do things halfway, not even 99.999. Now, if we impute omniscience to God, we must also accept that he is perfect in wisdom and righteousness. This plan of election and reprobation, excuse me, is the wisdom of God revealed in all ages, even as it says in Ephesians 1:3-11. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in this the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on the earth, and even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Thus, if God has so designed that there be those whose names are placed in a section of the Lamb's Book of Life and cannot be erased, for they are the names of his bride. Amen. Those cannot be erased. Then we must accept that if it also states that there are those whose names were placed in the record of the book of life, but in the foreknowledge of God they were to fall and have their names removed, we must also accept that. And if there are those whose names were never placed upon a record of life, we must accept that also. And if there are those who will enter into life eternal after the white throne judgment, solely on the grounds of being good or kind and just to the elect of God. Amen. Who are his brethren? Then we cannot but accept that. Amen. For who knoweth the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? Rather, let us be subject in faith to him who is our Father and live. Again, from the exposition of the seven church ages, the Laodicean church age, Brother Branham says, but now he is standing in the midst of the church. As he stands there revealing who he is in this last age, he calls himself the author of the creation of God. This is another creation that has to do with the church. This is a special designation of himself. He is the creator of that church. The heavenly bridegroom created his own bride. Amen. As the Spirit of God, he came down and created in the Virgin Mary the cells from which his body was born. I want to repeat that. He created the very cells in the womb of Mary for that body. It was not enough for the Holy Spirit to simply give life to a human ovum supplied by Mary. That would have been sinful, mankind producing a body. That would not have produced the last Adam. Of him it was said, lo, a body hast thou, Father, prepared for me. God, not Mary, provided that body. Mary was the human incubator, and she carried that holy child and brought him to birth. It was a God-man. He was the Son of God. He was of the new creation. Man and God met and joined. He was the first of this new race. He is the head of this new race. Amen. Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There you can see that though man was of the old order or creation, now in union with Christ, he is become a new creation of God. Amen. Became the new creation of God. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in the union with Christ unto good works. Ephesians 4:24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Brother Branham says, this new creation is not the old creation made over. Amen. Or it could not be called a new creation. This is exactly what it says it is. New creation. It is another creation distinct from the old one. No longer is he dealing by ways of the flesh. That was how he dealt with Israel. He chose Abraham and Abraham's issue through the godly Isaac line. But now out of every kindred, tribe, nation, he has purposed a new creation. Us here, those overseas, wherever. One here, one there. He is the first of the creation. He was God created in the form of man. Now by his Spirit he is creating many sons unto himself. God the Creator creating himself a part of his creation. This is the true revelation of God. This was his purpose. This purpose took form through election. That is why he could look right down to the last age when all would be over and see himself still in the midst of the church. Amen. I pray he sees us in the midst of his church. As an author of this new creation of God, his sovereign power brought it to pass. By his own decree, he elected the members of his new creation. He predestinated them to be the adoption of children according to the good pleasure of his will, By his omniscience and his omnipotence, he brought it to pass.
Amen.
Now, else could he have known that he would be standing in the midst of the church receiving glory from his brethren if he didn't make sure. All things he knew and all things he worked out according to what he knew in order that his purpose and good pleasure be brought to pass. Amen. Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you belong to him? And again from the Philadelphian church age, he that hath the key of David. And that's the title of that paragraph. This beautiful phrase follows and comes out of the preceding phrase, he that is true. Christ, the perfect realization, contrasts with partial realization. Okay? Kind of the same lines as being in his perfect will or being in his permissive will. So same parallel here. The perfect realization contrasted with partial realization. Here it is. Moses was a prophet of God, but Jesus, like unto Moses, was the prophet of God. David, a man after God's own heart, was the king of Israel, but Jesus is the greater Jesus is the greater David, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God, the very God. Now David was born of the tribe of Judah, and out of whom no priest had ever came, yet he ate of the showbread and was reserved for the priests. He was the great warrior, overcoming the enemy, establishing the people. As king, he sat on the throne. He was a prophet. He was a wonderful type of Christ. Now it says in Isaiah 22:22, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. The Spirit uses this Old Testament reference concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry in the church. What the key of David signifies at that time is mere shadow, which is now fulfilled in Jesus standing in the midst of the lampstands. It has to do with our Lord after his resurrection, and not his earthly pilgrimage. But what does this key signify? The answer lies in the position of the key. It is not in his hand. It is not worn around his neck. It is not placed in the hands of other men. Or the verse could not be saying that he alone has the use of that key, for he alone opens and shuts, and no man has that right but Jesus himself. Amen. Isn't that right? But where is the key? It is on his shoulder. But what does shoulder have to do with it? Read Isaiah 9:6. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. But what does this mean? The answer is this. The phrase government upon his shoulder comes from the wedding ceremony of the East. Talking about the bride here. When the bride has been committed to the groom, she takes off her veil and places it over the groom's shoulder, signifying that not only is she under his dominion, that she has transferred her rights to him, that he is the head, but also that he bears the responsibility and the care that he and he alone, no one else, no other man, no other power has any right or responsibility. You're totally yielded to Christ when you place that upon his shoulder. You let go and you let God do everything. He opens those doors. He closes those doors. He brings you here. He takes you there. And that, beloved, is the key of David. God being sovereign, he foreknew by divine decree exactly who would be in his bride. He chose her. She did not choose him. He called her. She did not come on her own. He died for her. He washed her in his own blood, and he paid the price for her. She belongs to him and to him alone. She is wholly committed to him, and he accepts the obligation. He is her head, for Christ is the head of the church. As Sarah called Abraham Lord, even so the bride is happy that he is her Lord. He speaks and she obeys, for that is her delight. And I will say this, brother and sister, this, you can go back and listen to Marriage and Divorce and the message after it. This is exactly what it is. We are solely dedicated, committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have taken that veil and we've put it on his shoulder. But there are those that seek to commit adultery. And that's spiritual adultery. So whenever you leave Christ and you go back to a dogma or a creed or a man-made theory or something of that effect, you have committed adultery. The bride cannot commit that adultery. Sin is not even in her, nor will it be imputed to her. Amen? That's how important it is. Once you give it, once you yield yourself to the Lord, you stay there until we go home. Amen? From the invisible union of the bride of Christ, Brother Branham says, you're standing completely. You never sinned at the first place. God don't even know nothing. Wow. You never sinned at the first place. It's in the sea of forgetfulness. You never did it. You were accused of it by the accuser. But really, from the beginning, you were predestinated to be a son or daughter of God. You're standing there washed, and your old book of divorcement is put away, and it is dead, absolutely out of the existence or even in the mind of God. Amen. You're the virtuous bride of Christ, washed in the blood of Christ, precious, virtuous, sinless Son of God, standing with a pure, unadulterated bride word that he washed by the water of his own blood. That became flesh and manifested that he might take you which were predestinated in the bosom of the Father before the beginning, the same as he was the great attribute of God called love. Whatever you are servants of God. Whatever God wants you to do, where your place is, God placed in the church some apostles, prophets, teachers, and pastors. He placed that by virtue of his own predestination. And you were that to begin with. Amen. There's a lot of people won't say amen to that. Revelations 2, 16 and 18. I, Jesus, have set mine angel to testify unto these things in the church. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. The most important verse right here. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. In the last little bit here, Brother Bram says in Revelation chapter 4, but finally, right at that crucial hour, they heard the sand turning under the wheels of the horse coming. What a thing it was to see that little bride that had made herself ready. Jumped out of the door and around those rose-covered trellis out there to fly into the arms of the man that she loved and to be her husband, to pick her up in that like that and be married and right away. Amen. We are waiting for his coming. Brother and sister, I tell you that the word that you hear, if you leave it on the pew when you leave today,
and you don't apply it to your life, you don't dress yourself, you will be found wanting. You will be found empty. You will be found naked, as it said, saying, "I have need of nothing. I have it." You, your responsibility, the same as the gift of salvation, the same as the gift of the Holy Ghost, is for you to take it and apply it. If you don't, then it's not yours, and you'll leave it behind. Amen? So we are His chosen bride, brother, sister. And remember, Brother Branham said the rapture is a revelation. Do everything to get that faith, to get that revelation, amen? And make sure that it doesn't pass through you when it happens, amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we truly are thankful, Father, to be your sons and your daughters, Father. You're truly chosen. Lord, we know it within our heart. Lord, help us to live the lives that reflect you, Father, fully. Lord, we our heart's desire, Father, is to be that bride that you would be pleased when you return, that we are dressed in your word, Father, every part from head to toe, Father, adorned in your word. That is our heart's desire, Father. Grant it to us, Father. Help us to see those things that we lack, Father, where we need that clothing. Lord, give it to us as our heart's desire. Lord, as the week progresses, Father, I pray, Lord, that you are in all things. Father, help us to see the little things that you do for us daily. Lord, give us the strength to overcome the trials that are set before us. We know that you have our best interest at hand and that these are only moments to grow. Lord, only to praise you for the things that you have given to us. If they look like a trial, Father, we still praise you. Lord, we thank you for everything that you have done for us. We speak these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would be with your bride that is here in this building. Lord, for those that are tuned in, Father, and that have heard your word and have put that dress, that full word on, Father. Thank you, Father, for those things. Help us to just be a light, Father, to those that are around us, Father, and a hope, Lord, that's all we have as time gets more chaotic, Father. I pray, Lord, that you just keep us strong, Father, and always referring to you and your word and your promises to us. We ask these things now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.